Radio.
You're listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy on cradio.org.au.
Wherever you are around the world today, it's great you can be here with us. Today, I want to talk about how we speak to people in order to help those people become magnificent and change their lives. The reality is, in all of our life, how we speak has a capacity to change people's lives. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for some of the wonderful things, encouraging things, and even correcting things that people had said in my life. It's actually a Christian duty. And we're going to talk about that today. I pray it blesses you, and it consequently will bless all of the people in your life. In all of our lives, there's a power that we all possess that sometimes we use well and sometimes we use poorly. And sometimes we use so poorly, we're not even aware of it, that we can have a very damaging effect upon our own lives and on the lives of others around us. And that is how we speak. If you read the scriptures have a huge amount to say about words and the kind of words we use. In our family, Rosemary and I, we often say that we gave our kids, our children, two things that we think were really important. And one of those things that we gave them was the ability to speak and speak well and particularly engage in what I call honor. That is telling people exactly what they are and who they are and being able to speak life into people. One of the slogans of the Catholic Guy ministry is inspiring you to dream. And the word inspire means to breathe life. And one of the greatest ways to breathe life into someone is by the way we speak. You as a mum and dad have an amazing power over people's lives. As a grandparent, as a brother or a sister, as a friend, as a boss, you have an amazing power. It says on the screen, if you have a look at this Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now have a look at this verse underneath that. It says in another translation, those who love to talk will experience the consequences, for the tongue can kill or nourish life. All of us know what it's like to be criticized. All of us know what it's like for people to say things to us that diminish us, because that's the fruit of negative talk, is that we deplete and destroy someone. I've met young people who've written to me over the years who've talked about the fact that their life has been so damaged by things that people said to them that they failed to have the strength to be able to say that's not true. Because words can damage us so unbelievably. And we want to talk about how do we create an environment around us in our families, in our businesses, in our churches, and among our friends. How do we create an environment that builds up, that when people leave you, they feel encouraged? When people leave you, they feel like they've got greater purpose. They've got a greater sense of even God in their life. Because we can all have that impact upon people if we see it within ourselves, but we have to see it within ourselves that we can have that great influence on others. There's power in our words, and there's the ability to be a positive influence or a negative influence. It says in James chapter 3 verse 2, it says this, for all of us make many mistakes. That's describing me. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships, though they are large, that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they're guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. That's pretty strong language, basically saying the tongue can do enormous damage when used incorrectly. I remember when I was at school, there was a young man by the name of Patrick, And Patrick was someone, his parents were a lot older. And so he was kind of a kid that was a little bit old-fashioned in many ways compared to the time back then. And the things that people would say to him, the cruelty that people would say to him in their words, devastated him. Ultimately, he committed suicide. And he committed suicide not because he had older parents, not because he was not talented and gifted, but because people decided to bully him. People decided to use words that were cruel, that tore down in his life. How many of us have heard that within our own lives? Some of the campaigns that I've heard of recent times where famous people have got together and spoken against bullying is such a, they're such powerful campaigns that they're Christ-like in the sense of that whilst they may not understand the scriptures, the people talking, they do know that words damage, that words damage. If you start early telling your children who they can be, you have the ability to affect their life very, very powerfully. I've recently talked to a group of mothers about their mothers, and I asked them, "Tell me some words about your mum. Tell me about who they are." And as I was speaking to this group of women, we were kind of having a chat session. So many have told me these wonderful things that about their mothers, and then I said to them, "Can you tell me how many of you have ever taken the time to go and speak to your mother and tell your mother what you just told me?" And almost the entire group of women that I was speaking with said to me, "We've never taken the time to go tell our mothers." See, words have the capacity to build up. They have the capacity to heal or hurt. They have the capacity to scar or soothe. They have the capacity to motivate or demotivate. They have the capacity to create or to destroy. Words are powerful. We've all heard the saying, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me." No, no, no. Names will break our heart. And what's our heart? Our heart is the internal will within us. Our heart is what affects our personality. Our heart is what affects the substance of who we are as a person. And when we subject a person to consistent and regular over and over criticism, we break something within them. I watched an interview recently of a couple of parents with one of their daughters who, crying through the interview, talked about their daughter who had committed suicide also. Why? Because this young woman had been ceaselessly through social media picked on, things that had been said to her about her, things that were cruel, things that were completely and utterly untrue. But sometimes words have the capacity to make what is untrue appear true in the mind of someone who's had things said to them poorly and negatively over and repeatedly, over and over and over again. Names break our heart. They break our will. They break our character. Because of words, people have been turned into murderers or to lovers. Because of words, wars have been avoided and wars have been started. Because of words, marriages have begun and marriages have prematurely ended. Because of words, children in the playground are either loved or they live sadly because of words. Because of words, businesses have begun and businesses have ended. Because of words, dreams have become true, and because of words, they have been destroyed. Words express our deepest thoughts at times, but also words can be used so flippantly that they can destroy. A friend of mine is a pastor of a church, and he took some time every year to go away for a couple of weeks, I should say. And what he would do is he would plan his sermons for the entire year. And he would plot them out, what he was going to do. So he had kind of a direction in what he was going to do. And so he gets to the end of his preaching year, and he's kind of tired. And to be honest with you, giving talks, preaching, it isn't quick work. It takes a long time. Some people are fast, but for example, someone like me, it can take me many hours to just come up with something that makes sense. And so you can kind of get tired and worn, like many people it can, in all kinds of work. And so he goes away for his 2 weeks, but just before he went away, someone came up to him and said to him, hey, and gave him a brown paper bag with a book in it and said to him, don't look at that until you go on your break, on your study break. And so he goes away on his study break and he says, I sat down at the table, and he said, as I sat down at the table, it had been 12 months since I had done this process. I sat down and the very first thing I said to God, thank you for another good year. Thank you for another good year. And then as I opened my bag, he said, I saw straight away this brown paper bag. And he said, I picked it up and I opened it, and here was a book. And just inside the book was a letter and a piece of paper, and it just had a few words on it. And it said this, hey, this is the Bible. Try preaching it sometime. It'll improve you. And he talked about, he said, I just felt so devastated, because that's what I do all of the time. And he said it just kind of destroyed the whole 2 weeks of preparation, that this person was telling me I was just bad, poor, and no good. And it had a couple of other things in it that were equally not so great. A few weeks went by. He said, I was back at the church and I was walking down the passageways of the church. And as I was walking down the passageway of the church, who should I meet? Was I bumped into this person who'd given me the brown paper bag with the Bible in it. And as he walked past me, he called back and he said, hey. And I turned around and looked at him, and this man tells the story. He said, he looked at me and he said, you know, that Bible in the bag that I gave you the other day. He said, I'll just forget about it. I was just having a bad day. And he said for 2 weeks and for the weeks after, he said, and even the times I stepped up to speak because of what was written in this letter, he said, it really robbed my confidence. And now it turns out it was just because the guy was having a bad day. See, words have this power. You know, our world is soaked in words. It's soaked in words. But do people value what they're saying? Because our words can so easily destroy, because they have power. Words can change the direction of a person's whole life, of their whole life. When I was born with a hair lip. My lip wasn't joined. And when you've got scars on your face and as a little boy going to school, people can say some pretty cruel things. And combined with that, I came from a family where I had four brothers, and my brothers were excellent at sport. I mean, really good at sport. Fantastic at sport. And I wasn't. So combination of being looking like I did, combination of not being sporty like my brothers were sporty, made me feel really different. And kind of in the school that where all five of us went to, my family were kind of known as being the sporting family, and then there was Bruce. And you kind of feel, you know, I remember, and people kind of tease you about that, you know, what happened to you, you know, and when you're young, it really matters. And you combine it all. And I remember my dad used to say to me, my dad, because he could see that I was wrestling, and my dad was someone I greatly admired. And I remember my dad used to take me outside, out the back, and we'd have these chats just by ourselves. And he used to say to me over and over and over again, no, you're not good at, you know, you're not good at sport. No, you're not. And yes, you have had surgery, and you know, you'll heal up okay. All of that's true. But God has given you special gifts, son. God has got something special for you to do. You have within you, you know, gifts and talents that other people don't have. And you've got to remain strong in that, and you've got to believe that. And despite what anybody says to you, it's not true. God doesn't make junk. God doesn't make things without a purpose. God has a plan. And you're okay. And I remember my dad didn't say it to me once or twice. My dad would have to take me out the back all the time because I had so many voices. And he would speak to me often. How we talk will determine whether our husbands or our wives believes he or she can conquer the world. How we talk will determine whether our children have major problems and obsessions in the future, or whether they will be world beaters. How we talk. How we talk will determine whether our friends attain their potential. How we talk will determine whether our church is amazing or just ho-hum. I think I'll just turn up every week. Our talk matters. I remember many years ago when I first got married. I remember the guys in my bridal party, they decided they would organize what we called an honoring. And I remember there were 28 guys who came along, and 28 guys came along, and someone else came along who I knew but didn't know me that well. They'd come in from interstate, but they'd known of me for a while. And they were actually staying where I was staying at the time. And I remember the guy who was kind of my best man, leader of the bridal party. He said to everybody at one point, he said, "Hey, everybody, let's get together. You know, everybody get a drink." And he said, and then he said to all of them, he said, "We're going to have an honoring." He said, "We're going to have an honoring." And an honoring, he said, is where we're going to tell everybody what we really think of Bruce, what he's done for us in our lives. You know, and they weren't going to focus on the negative. They were going to focus on the positive. And for literally 90 minutes, and I was only 23 years old, for 90 minutes, these guys stood around and they, without rush, talked to me about things that had happened, that I'd done, that I had never realized that I'd ever done, things that I'd said that had affected them, things that I'd acted that I never even knew I'd acted. And I remember being so deeply affected by that because I never knew. And I remember going back later on with this other young fellow who I kind of knew, and I remember being there, and he was engaged to be married a few months later. And he was the kind of guy that when you went off to these, you know, gatherings of just all of the men before you got married, he was the kind of guy who would kind of do all sorts of crazy things to the guy getting married. And I remember him describing to his wife-to-be. And I remember him saying, he said, "Well, they all got together." He said, then the guy who's kind of leading the bridal party gets everybody together. He says, "Hey, get a drink, everybody." They all got and got a drink. And he said to them all, then they start saying things about Bruce. And he said, for 90 minutes they went. He said, "Things I never knew, but I've been around him." And then I remember he broke down and started crying, and he said, "In a few months' time," he said, "when I get married," he said, I wonder if someone would do that for me. Because I hadn't done anything special for these guys. They were just telling me how they appreciated me. Have that ever happened to you? Have you ever had a group of people stand around and tell you how much they love you and what you've done for them? And I know most people don't say, "Well, listen, I'm going to go set that up for myself and tell everybody about it and say, let's do that now." I know most people don't do that. And most people aren't seeking that limelight. But the truth is, words had such a power. It changed the way I saw myself. I remember meeting someone who was there a week later, and they said to me, they said, "You know, you have never been the same since that day. You haven't been the same since that day." See, in the Greek language, the word for honor means time. Another meaning of it is a valuing. It means to value, a valuing of someone. Can I encourage you in your life? When's the last time you wrote a note to someone? When you wrote a note to someone to say, "Listen, I really appreciate you. You cooked a great meal. I love the way you do this in the house, you know, or where we live. I love the way I saw you do this at work. I appreciate how you're my boss and how you've trained me." When's the last time you took the time to use your words to build into the life of someone else? Because there's life, there's death and life in the power of the tongue, in what we say. See, other definitions of honoring is appreciation, is esteem, is to be favorable, held, to be in high regard, to respect. And where does honor come from? Honor always comes from the heart. When we honor someone, when we tell someone what we truly think about them, what we're not just doing that intellectually, that's something that comes, if it's done sincerely, is coming from the substance of who we are. It says something about who we are. to the person that we're speaking to. It says something about the character of who we are, And we find it through the scriptures over and over, this whole idea of honoring people. I remember some years ago, a woman that I met one day who was feeling very, very down. She'd been going through a hard, very hard time in her life. And she said to me, and we talked about a few things for a while, and then things were a bit rough in her marriage. And I talked to her about forgiveness, and she went home, and her husband just had a wonderful conversation around forgiveness. And she came back to me and she said to me, "Is there anything else? Because that forgiveness thing was fantastic that you talked about, you know?" And she said, "If you could just teach me more like that forgiveness stuff, that was just really powerful." And so I said, "Well, have you ever heard about honoring?" And she said, "No, I don't know what that is." I said, "Well, in my family, what Rosemary and I have done for all these years, and we were taught it by someone else, it's not our idea, is what we've done is at everyone's birthday or on a significant occasion in someone's life, we after we've eaten together a celebration meal or dinner that day, we've all sat around the table in a circle, and then we've all started with this sentence, 'I want to honor you because,' and it's not about anything negative, and 'I want to honor you because,' and the person that you're honoring can't say anything until the very end. They can reply when everybody's finished. And when our kids were little, if they were honoring Rosemary, my wife, they would say something like, 'Mum, I want to honor you because you've got red lips.' Or, 'Mum, I want to honor you because you make my lunch for school.' But now that they're older women, they say things like, 'Mum, I want to honor you for the woman that you made me to be, for the woman that you gave me an example of. I want to honor you for the sacrifice, for the love that you put into my life. I want to honor you, Mum, because. Well, they're super emotional times, and just about the whole family's wiped out by the end. This woman said to me, she said, "I could do that. I could do that." I said, when's your husband's birthday? She said, "It's actually next Sunday." So I said, "Why don't you do that? I want to honor you because is how you start." No reply from them till the very end. Well, she went home. And the following week she called me. She said, "Well, we have four daughters." She said, "We didn't want to tell him anything that was happening. So we, Sunday night after dinner, we got in a circle. We all got ourselves some dessert. And then we said to him, 'You know, Dad, we want to honor you.' And I said, 'You know,' and she said, 'I, as his wife, I want to honor you.'" She said he was dumbfounded at the end, because normally people say a couple of good things and a few negative things, but there was nothing negative. Well, anyway, I didn't talk to her for 12 months, that lady. 12 months went by and she called me. And she said to me, she said, "I'm ringing because I want to thank you because you changed my life." And I said, "Well, how did I change your life?" She said, "Well, 12 months have gone by now." And she said, "My husband, all four of our children, and just this week, me, were honored." She said, "We've never spoken such life into our family." She said, "The way our children relate." She said, "The way that we as husband and wife have related, the way our family is relating now," because it's always you tell people what you don't like. You rarely tell people what you do. And why? Because the scripture says there's life and death in the power of the tongue. I want to encourage you, if you want to be like Jesus, if you want to live in the kingdom like is described in the scriptures, go and honor today. You can do it to your boss, your friends, your spouses, your family, the people in your church. Make time to honor. It will transform your life. Dear Father, we thank you today that you love us with such abundance. And Lord God, you honor us with life. You honor us as you bless us. You honor us as you work in our life. Allow us, Lord God, to honor each other and to make your kingdom more present in the world. Lord, that we would see that there is life and death in the power of the tongue. Father, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy on cradio.org.au.